Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.
Well, guys, wasn't as bad as they said, was it? Kind of represents everything we worry about. What about 1% of what we worry about actually happens? Oh, Dora, you inspired me. Smartest decision you'll ever make. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim's journey, I want Jesus to walk with me in my trouble. Walk with me in my trouble. Walk with me when my heart is nearly breaking. I want Jesus to walk with me in my trials. Walk with me in my trials. Walk with me when my head is bowed in sorrow. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to walk with me.
Song. What a great old tune that is. Which reminds me of this tune. I learned this from Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives. Love those guys. I thought that number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Without you holding my hand, the mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without.
without you holding my hand.
I think that I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I don't trust in him, I'd be less than a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Those are my superlatives. In the background there. They're the coolest.
The fabulous electronic superlatives. Anyhow, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. All right, let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Shall we pray together? Lord, here we all are. We really don't want this to be some religious exercise. We don't want this to be some thing we do. You told us to gather around together to encourage one another. And Lord, as we open your word, it's more than words on a page. These words live because they're yours. Apply them to our lives. Help us. Lift us up. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you obey my command, you will remain in my love. So are you discouraged with yourself this year? Did you start writing out the resolutions for, 2020? And you looked at it and you realized you've done this for the last many years and nothing has changed and you wad it up and throw away. Are you thinking you're going to try harder this year? Have you tried everything? Did you think you'd be farther along the road by now? Man, I thought I would. You thought you'd be past this particular problem you're struggling with. You've done all the seminars, all the self-help books. You've asked everyone for who you perceive to be somebody that has it all together, what their key is. You've tried it all. Well, here Jesus lays down this simple, simple truth. Change in our lives begins right here. And it's simple. You don't have to write a book about it. You don't have to go to a seminar. You don't have to listen to a tape. You just have to do what Jesus has simply said here. It's really simple. He shows us how to see him. He shows us how to see ourselves here. And then he tells us what to do. I like that. I can't help it. I'm this practical kind of person when it comes to the Bible. I'm always asking the question, so what? How do we see him? Get this, what Jesus says. He says, I am the true vine. True literally means the genuine vine. You're looking for life? Are you looking for the ability to do what you haven't been able to do? Are you looking for answers? Are you looking for anything? Well, Jesus is your answer. I am the true vine. I'm the genuine one. He's the real deal. He's the only deal in town, actually. It's him who said, I am the life. Remember? He said that. He said to Martha, Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember that? Not messing around. How to see him? He's the true, the genuine source of all life and all power. He talks about himself being the vine and any branch in me. He's talking about being plugged into Jesus. You begin that by trusting him in what he did on Calvary's cross. That's the beginning. That's when you are born into God's family, and that's when you become his child. But remaining in all of that, this abiding, as the old translation used to say, is the key to change because of who he is. He is the real vine. If you look within you, you're not going to find it. You want to know why? Because you're not all that. All right? You're really not. You're not going to find that within yourself. I know there's a lot of people who will say, listen, the answer is within you. Just look deep within. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So at our core, we got a problem. All right? We have fallen hearts. And you're not going to find the answer there, no matter, you know, how deep you look. Nope. We had a guy that started a flight ministry here a long time ago. What, 40 years ago? It was a long time ago. He was going to fly missionaries around and all that stuff. I thought he knew what he was doing. I flew with him a couple times. Scared me to death. Because he didn't know what he was doing. And talk about, you know, living by faith, you know. I saw him reaching for the controls and his hands were shaking. And I thought, if he's nervous, I should be nervous. And then I realized he had a natural tremor, but I never noticed it till then, you know. When you're reaching for the controls and I'm worried about it, that's a scary thing. I knew this guy. He lived on Lake Oakland. He had a Cessna, high-wing Cessna. And he was all proud because he lived on a point and he had his high-wing Cessna and he had pontoons on that thing. And he would land right on Lake Oakland. Man, it was cool. So he would fly, land on the lake, you know, living the life of Riley. Lifestyle, the rich and famous, you know, all that stuff. So one day he decided he wanted to land at the airport over here for something. He's with his wife and they're coming into landing when she yells at him, you can't land, you got the pontoons on. And he pulls out just in time before they hit the ground. He was so shook. They flew back to Lake Oakland. They land, oh honey, I'm sorry, I just forgot to think. And he opened the door and stepped out and went whoosh into the lake. True story. Real genius like the rest of us. Okay? You're not going to find it in you. You're not all of that. If you look to the world around you, you won't find it. Because the people who appear to have it all together don't. It's a facade. Okay? Most of the Christians that tell you they have it all together are lying to you, and they don't. Follow them around for a while. Wait till they get bumped and see what comes out. Okay? I mean, the world is still searching. That's why it offends the world when we say we have found the Savior. When we say we have truth, that we have answers, that we have eternal truth, that we have the very words of God, they freak out over that because you can't know that. We don't know. We're all searching. They are still searching. You're not going to find it out there. It's not going to happen. And don't depend on others because you'll be deceived. You really will be. I have a dear young friend, one of the most tender Christians I've ever known. She's so sweet. I just love her. But she got involved with this Christian group that did prophecy to each other, okay? That means I have a word from the Lord for you, and then you have a word for the Lord for this person over here, and all that stuff. That is a recipe for disaster. When she was here staying with us a few years ago, she was saying, I want you to listen to this. These are two men that spoke prophecies over me. Well, the first guy was just trying to be nice and encouraging, okay? The second guy was trying to manipulate you. I said, that guy's just trying to be nice. This guy's evil and you need to stay. Oh, no, he's our lead prophet and all this stuff. She wanted her life to be led by other people. Whenever you think other people have it for you, you're in deep trouble. She got married. He beats her. She has a little boy and a little girl. She won't leave him. She went to a safe shelter and then believes that God spoke to her and told her to go back and that he was going to change. Well, he might change, but not with you there, honey. And she She's back there. I talked to her parents this last week. They've been in touch with Child Protective Services. They're doing everything they can to get those children out of that house. But she's just, and she has to be dominated by everybody. Don't live that way, okay? Don't do that to yourself. You follow other people, you'll get in trouble. Did you hear about the priest? He was walking through his little village, and there's this little four-year-old boy jumping up trying to push a doorbell. He thought it was cute. So he walks up on the stoop and pushes the doorbell and says, well, little man, now what do we do? And the little boy said, run! So, isn't that cute? So, how do we see Jesus? He's the source, okay? Don't be deceived in thinking the source is anywhere else, because it's not. Jesus said, come to me, right? Do you remember Mary, when Jesus was at that wedding and they ran out of wine at that wedding for a family member of his probably? And Mary comes running up to him and said, they don't have any more wine. And Jesus had never performed a miracle while here on earth. He called the men together that were serving at that little dinner party. And Mary said something very profound. By the way, parts of the Christian church have made Mary into like equal to God stuff. That's just weird, okay? It's not true. It's not true. She's a wonderful lady. She's in heaven today and saying, what are you trying to talk to me for? I'm not doing anything for you. But anyhow, Mary gave great counsel, though, at this moment. You know what she said to the men that were helping serve at that dinner party? She pointed at her son and said, do whatever he tells you. You look at Jesus, right? So how do you see Jesus? He's the vine. All right, how do you see yourself? Now get this. This will help you. You're just a branch. I am the true vine. I'm the vine. You are the branches. It's that simple. You're a branch, but you're just a branch. It's pretty simple. Forcing change is completely different than producing fruit. Let me tell you, I have never seen an apple tree in therapy trying to figure out how to make fruit happen. Have you? Oh man, how can I do it? If I just go to this seminar, I've heard that, you know, they're going to, what's his name, going to be in town and they're going to have thousands of people that I'm going to go there and try to find out. That's not going to do it for you. This is a natural thing. If you will just keep walking with Jesus, you're going to be plugged into him properly day by day. Life is going to flow into you and change will happen. It's pretty cool stuff. It's pretty simple. He said, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man, that means if anybody in mankind, okay? But if a man or woman remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so what does it mean to remain in him? It means literally just to continue walking with him. Just, in fact, better than that. It's about depending on him. Okay, I know people say, oh, you know, this isn't a religion, it's about a relationship. Well, for you girls, that sounds really good. For us guys, we're really not much into relationship, okay? We're about getting her done, okay? It's just the way we're wired. It's Venus and Mars kind of thing. So what us guys need to know is it's about dependence. We are wired to think every time there's a problem, we have to come up with the answer to fix it, right? There's someone else we can go to. He wants us to depend on him. Alcoholics Anonymous has it right. Gamblers Anonymous has it right. Overeaters Anonymous has it right. You know what it all is? It's this. I have no power over myself. Paul said it. The very thing that I don't want to do, that's the thing I'm doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God Jesus will, he said. It's something. It's just simply depending him. We all have the same starting place. I'm helpless to change myself. That's a good place to be. I know that seems out of control and all that stuff, but that's the way to begin changing. I got nothing. Without me, you can do zip. That's in the Greek. Zip. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Let me put it this way. There's a power even behind all of this. Even if you never get better, he's never going to stop loving you. Okay, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have to change in order to make him happy with you. He already loves you. That's already complete and done. It was purchased for you at the cross at Calvary. On the cross at Calvary. It was given to all of us. So the pressure's off. If I don't change, he's still going to love me. I was really glad I have this new Honda. For me, it's new. It's a 2016, and it's got all the electronic stuff on it, you know, so it hooks up to my phone and all that stuff. And I don't know why it keeps defaulting to my phone and going to my music. I don't know how to turn that off on my phone so it's not happening on my car. And I wanted to pull the car out this morning as we were leaving. I wanted to warm it up. So I started it up and I'm pulling and my phone is in the very back of the car with my guitar and my little bag, my man purse that I carry around with me. And all of a sudden, Ray Charles comes on. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no. You know, that whole thing? And it reminded me, I'm so glad I'm never going to hear that from him. I'm tired of hearing it from the radio. I really like to figure out how to turn that off. Your head is telling you that all the time. Oh, you got to do this or he's not going to love you. Well, I'm here to tell you something. He will never throw you away. Okay, but anyhow, we're just branches, and we have to see ourselves as absolutely helpless in this. It's dependence. It's just, I'm going to depend on him. And then how to proceed. If someone abides in me, and then get this, if my word abides in you. You get that? Now, you're not going to get the information you need just from talking to Jesus, you one-on-one, okay? You need what he says that we know for sure he says. Because my head and my heart tells me some things that aren't true sometimes. I'm sure yours is the same way. So we're told to be in God's word. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? The Bible tells us that the word of God is alive and active. The Lord says, my word that I send out from my mouth, it will accomplish that which I sent it for. It won't return empty. It's going to do. There's something about the word of God. It's alive. It's like a two-edged sword, the Bible says, that is able to be a scalpel and even divide between bone and marrow, which is the idea of getting down the very motives of the heart. The Bible is amazing. So we need to be in the scriptures. We need to be depending on him. We need to be in the scriptures. That gives God something to work with, right? He can deal with us. He will take, it's said of the Holy Spirit, he will take the things of Christ and make them known to you. It'll be used. Just give him the stuff to do it. And then, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it will be done for you. You know, it's backward than the way we live. We go push, 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 right? We're going to somehow make it all happen. You aren't going to make it happen. You're going to make it happen by you talking to him. That you're dependent. I know your word says this, so I'm screwed up and I need you to help me. And being honest with him, you ask him and he changes. Fruit grows. It's really a beautiful thing. It's simple. I know it's simple. It might even sound strange, but actually talking to him, praying, is actually where we get stuff done. That's where we do the work of our life, and then the rest of our life we just go around and pick up the results of what we've talked to him about. That's the way we live as Christians. There is a real God who we cannot see, who we can trust, who we can depend upon, who we can believe what he says, and we can ask him, and that God that we can't see works into the real world. It's really beautiful stuff, so just do that thing. We have a new puppy. I told you we named her after my dad. We're going to pit rescue this little Shih Tzu puppy. And I said to Debbie, what do you want to name it? I want to name it after your dad. Really? My dad had a name in school because of having a big nose. They called him Pickles. So Debbie says she wanted to name the dog Pickles. Okay. So we have Pickles the Wonder Dog along with Precious, the other Wonder Dog. And I had her out today. Debbie can never get her to do her business. Can never get her to quite, come on, honey. Come on. Come on. Okay, we gotta go. That's how they check. I get out there, I put her down, and I start saying this. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Because she has the attention span of a fruit fly just like you and me. And I gotta keep her on point. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. No, do it. Gets a leaf, flips it around. No, do it. And she does it because I keep her on point, okay? You've been called to speak to your father and change your world by that. Isn't it simple? Do that. Now listen, you can choose not to do it. It's not good for your life because you're just a branch And if you're not bearing fruit, you lose the whole thing about just use the branches in the fire. We're not talking about heaven and hell here, okay? We're talking about the loss of well-being, the loss of usefulness. Accept who you are. You're just a branch. Be the branch. Talk to him. Depend on him. Put his word in your heart and your head. And let him work through you. It's pretty neat. It really is. You know, there was one time that Jesus was absolutely amazed. Would you love to amaze Jesus? I mean, not just get by. I mean, wouldn't you really like to amaze him? There was this Roman soldier. He was a centurion. He had a servant that was sick. And he calls to Jesus. When the centurion heard Jesus, and he sent some elders of the Jews to ask him to come and heal his servant. Okay, this is a Gentile now. Okay, it's not a Jewish guy. It's a Gentile. So he's in with some of the Jewish leaders, the elders, and so he asked them to ask Jesus to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. He's built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. Something very interesting happens. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to Jesus, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, because this dude got it. He understood how simple it really is. Lord, just say the word. You want to amaze him? Walk with him. Depend on him. Be in his word. And then take your junk to him and the junk in the rest of your world and let him change it. Jesus said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." I love it when a heathen puts the Christians to shame. Don't you love that? I love it. All right. Well, you think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for your word. Just the simple illustration of this, that we're simply a branch, and that you're the one that gives life to everything. So here we are. Father, we have lived this try harder, do better thing, and it doesn't work, and we're tired. Would you help us? I ask today, Lord, that you would give eyes that we might see this applied to our own lives. Help us. Help us not to be ashamed before you. Help us to just be real with you. And it's so interesting, Lord, if we do all of this, the people around us will know it's real. You said if we do these things, we'll ask and you'll give to us, and the world will know that you are my disciples. That's very interesting. Father, help us to just be real with you. We ask for you continued blessing on our lives. Here we are, Lord, the mess that we are still. We ask for your continued work and blessing in our lives. Help us to follow your simple, your little thing here, and we appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.